Before I start, I like the enthusiasm. It's good. Before I start today, I just got this overwhelming sense today that sometimes we are going through life just kind of only just getting past our struggles and our existence and what we're doing. But there's a scripture in Romans 8 verse 37 that says, "No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us." And I want to suggest today that we're not just called to exist and just survive. We're called to also thrive in our life. Do you know, you might be going through really tough challenges and struggles, but let me tell you, there are going to be more struggles and challenges. But when you go through those challenges and you come through the other side, you're going to be amazed at what God does in your life. You're going to be absolutely amazed. So I'm saying, bring on more challenges. Bring on more challenges in our life, because I want to see God move, and I want to see God move in this place. Do you agree with me? So today I'm going to share a message with you which I think and I hope is relevant to all of us, but I don't know if we're all going to like it, and I don't even know if we're all going to be able to step up into it, because history, as we look back, there's only a few people that I think really step into the fullness of this in our lives. Last week, Robin spoke to us about prayer. And as I've headed into my 30s, there's this need in my life to spend more time praying. And it's a change that I didn't know needed to happen, but I am enjoying praying. I get this overwhelming sense that God is in control. There's this peace that rests upon me, and with it comes this lack of need to be wanted, appreciated, loved, or to prove myself to anyone else other than God. I don't need to worry about what I'm going to earn or furthering myself. I can just enjoy being me and being present in the moment with the people that I love. Sounds brilliant, right? Praying helps us refocus the way that we think and the way that we have our outlook in life. However, I can easily lose sight of this when prayer is not central in my life. There's a few things that happen when we pray. We become thankful and appreciative for the things that God has given us. We stop looking inward on ourselves. And as we experience this like top up of God's love, we start to love other people more. It becomes less about ourselves. It becomes less about our own problems and more about other people and the people that we're serving. And once God has kind of dealt with all the hurt, the shame, the guilt, the baggage, there is this freedom that we receive in our life in the abundance that God has given us. It doesn't mean that life is going to get easier, but we can almost enjoy being in the moment and winning through our challenges. But does it all end there? Is there something more to life than this? Don't get me wrong, if I could, I would spend all of my life enjoying God's love, his freedom and his peace. But there is something that wells up in me that I can't help but want to share that with other people. You'll all know that I work in church. I work full-time in church. I love working in church because I love investing in the lives of the people. And that's because as I love God more, he puts his love in my heart for other people. It's funny when you try to invest in the lives of other people that you also get encouraged yourself or even challenged in your own way of thinking. I was talking to a young person the other day, and we were talking about going into ministry, and I'm a bit skeptical when young people say they want to go into ministry because I know how hard it is. And so I tried to give this sort of balanced view. And one of the things that I talked about that was hard is that there are so many people that need to know Jesus out in that world. There's so many people that also need to grow in Jesus, that need a level of pastoral care. And what tends to happen is you have a limited effectiveness because there are so many people that you're trying to invest in the lives of those people. that you almost seem to have to make a choice of who are the people that you choose to invest some of your time in, because there are so many people. This young person turned around to me and they said this, but how can you abandon that one person? Especially if they don't even know Jesus. How can you possibly not invest in them if you know that they're not even going to go to heaven? Those words sink really deep into my heart. And unfortunately, there's this scripture, if we could have it up on the screen, that'd be fabulous. Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38, and it says this. And Jesus went through all the cities and the villages, teaching and praying in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Sounds great. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because he was because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." I get this kind of sense when Jesus is sharing this message that he wanted to even do more in that place, but he was one man in that place, and there needed to be more people investing into the lives of other people. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Jesus was speaking very specifically to his disciples when he said that the workers are few. So I've got two questions for you, and I want you to turn to the person next to you. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. So my first question is this: would you class yourself as a disciple of Jesus? Okay, and the second thing is this: do you think that working in the field, sharing Jesus with other people, is a priority of discipleship? I'll give you 30 seconds. Okay, brilliant. So I heard quite a few yeses in the room. So for me, the two go hand in hand. Personally, I would say if we love Jesus and have started that journey with him, that we are all disciples, and I believe we're not all only called to share Jesus with others. If we love him so much, there's this thing that wells up in our hearts when we have relationship, when we pray every day. There's this overwhelming sense of, we just want to share that with other people. It's an exciting place to be. I feel like sometimes when I don't pray enough, that love starts to diminish, and I need to spend that quality time with him. So I'm going to show you an illustration which people in my youth team are probably sick of seeing, but I keep banging on about it because I think it's brilliant. Okay, and we call this the wedding cake. It's a discipleship model that I particularly like. And in it, I'm going to skim over it. If you've got a notebook, write some of this down so you can go and do your research for yourself. But Jesus gives us four invitations into deeper discipleship and relationship. Okay, there's four invitations here. The first one is come and see. That's where we start a journey. Do you know what? You can invite other people to church to come and see what we do. That's a really good invitation. Come and have food round at my house and spend some time with me. That's a really good invitation. Follow me, where we imitate Jesus. We imitate his life and we start to grow. We attend Alpha courses or Sunday school or teaching and we start to grow. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. There's another invitation where Jesus, it's not just the following him, but sharing that with other people. And then there's the expand, where Jesus encourages his disciples to go and make disciples who will go on to make other disciples. If you think about it today, if you're a Christian in this room, you're a Christian because at some point somebody probably shared that with you. Okay, it may be that you had that kind of encounter like Paul did with God, but very frequently, and the majority of the time, is because you have been shared Jesus from other Christians as well. So one of the things you might notice about this wedding cake, okay, is that the tiers get smaller as you go higher up. And I want to suggest this to you all, okay, that living with Jesus isn't a cost-free commitment, okay? We receive salvation is a free gift from God, okay? But I want to suggest that as we go into further invitations, the cost is greater to our lives. And so as those tiers are getting smaller, you can see there's less people committing to those commitments, okay? So for instance, come and see is quite easy. It's a no strings attached invitation. Just come and see what we do and then you can go home and do what you like. But follow me is a little bit deeper. You have to follow Jesus. You know, you need to be reading your Bible. You need to spend time praying. There's a deeper level of commitment. And I want to suggest to you that very little people manage to get to this expand stage where they're going out making disciples and they're seeing other disciples made as well. And why might that be? It's probably because the cost is so great. Most of the disciples all died for what they believed in when they were sharing Jesus. Now, we're in a country where we don't have that persecution, that we can share that. But I just wonder, how much of a cost are we willing to take in our discipleship and our growing and sharing that with other people? Last week, Robin shared with you the Lord's Prayer. And there's that scripture within the Lord's Prayer that says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I love that part where you sing that. You say, "Jesus, yeah, come change this world." And then there's this kind of point when you get partway through the sentence where you realize, oh, you want to use me, God. You want to use me to help change this world. Do we want to see God's kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Are we willing to sacrifice what we have to see God's kingdom here on this earth? So today, I really want to focus on this lead stage, because I think it's one of the hardest transitions for us to make from just growing in Jesus, but then actually leading by example to other people, okay? Where we actually step out. I think it's a large step of faith when we have to step up and step out and share Jesus with other people. Okay, I think it's a challenge. I have some people say, you know, "Josh, I could never stand up at the front of church and do what you do. It's a nerve-wracking thing." Okay, I get nervous all the time. Okay, sometimes we have to step up and step out. I'm not saying we all need to preach, but what I'm saying is, why don't we just invite people around to a house? Why don't we do relationship with people? You know, people that we normally wouldn't mix with. Why don't we have those conversations with people? I remember when we started Team Oasis. Team Oasis is a place that we advertise for our leaders to connect and to have their input into the church here. And a few people we invited, their initial reaction was this: "I'm not a leader. I'm not a natural leader. I can't stand up at the front on the stage. I can't organise things. It just stresses me out." But I want to suggest to you today that leading is more than just having the abilities. It's this heart issue. It's the willingness to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do and to carry it out, however hard it might be. It's also a place where we can grow in faith and we become more dependent on God. Some of us may not be natural leaders, but we can all be those leaders by example. And I'm going to share a little bit later about how maybe we could be leaders by example in this church. I believe that we're all called to pass on what we know to other people. And it doesn't mean that we have to be natural teachers. We don't need a theology degree to share that with other people. But just the lifestyle of us may be praying, is a good example for our children. It's a good example for the generation below us. Inviting people round to our house and saying grace together. Just that time of sharing your faith and how you live out your life and your confidence in Jesus will rub off on other people. In a while, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that block us from leading and kind of hold us back from wanting to do that. Because leading, I think, is a challenge and it's a difficult thing. But I want to share with you first, these are some of the benefits of leading. Okay. When we're leading, it helps keep us accountable in our life, and it helps also build up our faith as well. You see, when you step into a position of leading and you need to show an activity to somebody, it could be praying or teach something to somebody, there's something that happens where your understanding is actually heightened. Because when you're wanting to share something with somebody, you're like, oh, I need to make sure I've got my facts right here. And it encourages us to go deeper in our own faith with God. There's a little bit of pressure to make sure that we get it right. And some of us might call that anxiety. But I want to say that maybe that's a healthy pressure for us to step up, to really know what you're talking about, and to be a really good example to those around us. This helps us be accountable in our lives, and stepping out in faith gives us things to talk about with God, and it helps us to grow. If we never put our faith into action, we'll probably find the only thing we're talking about to God is our problems. Okay. But wouldn't it be brilliant if we were to talk with Jesus and go, that was amazing, wasn't it? I stepped out and I did that, and you came through, the Holy Spirit moved in this place, and you will be enthused by what you hear and what you see. In Luke 10, verses 1 to 18, it's long, but I'm going to go through it. Jesus sends out 72 people. It's like a mission trip. Has anybody been on a mission trip here? Mission trips are brilliant. If you've never been on a mission trip, I just want to encourage you. If you think your life is rubbish, go on a mission trip. Go to Africa and see how poor people are there. And you'll realize, wow, I have life so easy. Luke 10, verses 1 to 18. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent the 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Interesting. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Do not take a purse or bag, sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter the house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest upon them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking, whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from his house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from your feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it would be more bearable on the day for Sodom than for the town. It then carries on and it says in verse 16, whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. Leading is hard. Sometimes we're rejected by people, aren't we? But we don't have to worry about being rejected. We have to worry about being obedient to what God has called us to be. In verse 17, it says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Isn't that an amazing testimony? They go out to bless other people, to prepare the way for Jesus. And in return, they are overwhelmed, overjoyed, and they receive something in return. Leadership gives us a purpose and a drive. I believe that leading helps give us a reason for living. Some people struggle with motivation in their life, but you know, some of us have good jobs. That motivates us a little bit. But I'm going to tell you now, the jobs that you do, I'm not telling you to quit your jobs now. Please don't do that, okay? But they don't have necessary eternal consequences. When you are investing in the lives of other people, it gives you a drive to keep going, however hard it might be. The only reason I've stayed probably in church ministry as long as I can is because of the why. I do this because I do it for other people, and it gives me a drive and it gives me a motivation. When we win with others, it also excites us. It can take months, it can take years to have wins with people. But when we see God move, and we're the one to help that person make that change in their lives, we realise how good and relevant God is in our lives. The other thing that happens is leadership helps us to be dependent on God. When we lead, anybody get this feeling? We get this natural feeling of being inadequate, or we're not quite up to the task. Let me tell you, that happens most days with me. And sometimes that's a bad thing, right? Because God has called you at the end of the day, okay? But you know, that feeling of an inadequacy is sometimes a good thing, because then we learn to not be reliant on ourselves, but we become reliant on the Holy Spirit. This is why leading is so important, because it builds up our faith and it's a dependency on God. It builds up this relationship with Him. And the last benefit I'm going to probably share here is this. Leadership is a risk, but the benefits are out of this world. When we share Jesus with others, we might not even see it in our lifetime, but the rewards go on for eternity. Everything we earn or we acquire in this world, whether it be house, personal possessions, even the people that we marry, relationships we enter, those will one day disappear, but our investment in others are going to lead on into eternity. And I want to suggest today that leading others to Christ, that serving other people, is essential for our faith. Otherwise, we're just going to get fat on God's word, okay? And there's no outlet. You know, when you keep, have you ever seen a pond? It has a river coming in, but there's nothing coming out. It just, what happens to the pond? It becomes stagnant, okay? And it starts to smell, okay? Sometimes we need an outlet. You know, how many Sundays do we come here and we hear great messages from people, much better than my preaching, okay? Sometimes we've got to share that with people, because that will help. So I'm just going to come on to end to say, why do we choose not to lead? Okay. If the benefits of leadership are so great, why is it that very people move from that grow stage to that lead stage? We've already mentioned that there's a great cost. The larger the sacrifice, I wonder though, if there's a larger reward in heaven. I believe there is this kind of constant battle in our lives between us enjoying life, struggling through life, and through the things in this world, through entertainment, through needing money, to acceptance from other people, and also this balance between us listening out to God for clear instructions of where He wants us to go next. Robin talked about the Lord's Prayer, and in there it's a good way to teach us to pray, because there's seven petitions in there, and I'm not going to go through them all. But the first three address God, and the last four are prayers relating to our needs and our concerns, okay? And some of those concerns are our own, and some of them are our concerns for other people as well. But in Matthew 6, verse 11, it says, "Give us today our daily bread." Do you know, it's actually a little bit of a sacrifice for us each day to spend a little bit of time with God and just say, "God, I want to receive, I need more of you." I wonder how many of us, we might spend 5 minutes reading our Bible, but we haven't really received much of our daily bread that day. How many of us read our Bible until we receive the daily bread that we need to receive? In Luke 9:23, it also says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. There's this commitment each day to spending time with God, to reading our Bible. And it is a cost on our time, you know, for those with families as well. Your time is so precious and it's so limited. Committing to Jesus is not just one of those few one-off words where we say we are followers of Jesus. Every day, I believe, there is this battle for us to fight. This is why I shared that we are more than conquerors, because every day is a battle for us to work through. And it might be an internal battle, but it might be also a battle out there with other people as well. This is why it's so important for us to keep going back to God for sustenance, because it's like if you want to help somebody financially, but you have no money, you're in debt. You can't help that person financially, okay? We've got to keep going back to that source. Many of us thrive for this easy life, and that is how we spend many of our hours trying to make things easier. I do it all the time. Trying to make my life easier. I try to adjust the house so it's a little bit less cleaning. Make sure the dog's locked in the utility room so he doesn't spread his hair around everywhere else. You know, there's lots of things that little things that we do to make our life a little bit easier. But I just want to challenge you today that being comfortable doesn't always make for this fulfilling life. Many of us find it hard to fight each day, to be disciplined into reading God's word, to commit to praying each day. The time in itself is a sacrifice, which some of us won't be willing to do. It's a hard sacrifice. Another reason why people find it hard to lead is because they feel inadequate. They don't feel good enough, or they feel like a failure. So often we compare ourselves to other people, and as a result, we never step into the things that God has for us. And the fact is this, we're all human. We've made mistakes, and we're all going to make more mistakes. But God chooses to use every single one of us. We all have very, very slightly different journeys. And if you think about it, all of our journeys together makes up God's kingdom. It's important for us as individuals to step into our own journey, not to compare that to other people. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 it says this, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. If you have a fear of leading, of being inadequate or not enough, don't worry, we're not. We're not good enough. But God gave us a spirit which is not of fear, but it's of power and love, and it's of self-control. In Romans 8:14, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit are children of God. Do you know, we are all children of God, aren't we? But are we led by the Spirit? Do we actively seek what the Holy Spirit is telling us each day? And I think this is the last one scripture that I'm going to share with you today. Maybe one more. People hurt us. Do you know, leading people and investing your time for the many to turn their back on us can sometimes be a little bit of a kick in the teeth. You can invest hours in somebody only for them turn their back on you, or even worse, turn their back on God. And it can feel like this massive toll on our mental well-being, and it can really crush our hearts. This sense of rejection. And this is why I always think the why is so important. But you do it because God's kingdom is more important. I'm not going to read the whole scripture, so I just need to find the bit I want to share with you today, just because of time. But in Matthew 10, verses 1 to 23, we read that Jesus sends out the 12. So first he sent out the 72, and now he sends out the 12. And it says this, we'll go for verse 16. I am sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Be on guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, I'm glad there's not too many synagogues around here. On my account, you'll be brought before governors, the kings, as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say and how to say it. And that time, at that time, you'll be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents. Anybody feel like their children are rebelling? And forgot you're in the room for a second then. And have them put to death. And this is what Jesus says. You'll be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Interesting. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the sons of man comes. The harvest are plentiful, but the workers are really few, aren't they? So my question is for all of us today. When the day comes, when you enter eternity, do you want to be remembered for someone who took risks, sacrifices to see God's kingdom come? Or is that too much of a sacrifice for you today? When you live your life, do you want to live your life making a difference for today or a difference for eternity? I want to suggest that actually stepping out to lead actually brings a fulfillment in our heart. And there's this void in our heart. And until we start to exercise our faith, we start to step up, I think there will be that emptiness in our lives. Are you willing to sacrifice some of the luxuries that we have in life? In Romans 8:5, it says this: for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. All of us in this room will have a different threshold for what we're willing to sacrifice for Jesus. For some of us, just the sacrifice of coming to church is just, that's their cap. For some of us, we might go on mission trip out to Africa. You know, you could spend the next 20, 30 years of your life investing into the lives of people. Maybe some of us will be spending time on the Alpha Course helping people get to know Jesus better. So my simple question, or my ask of you, and this is just how I want to end today, is, are you going to spend some time, maybe in the next worship song, maybe in the next week, asking God where he has called you to serve and to step up and lead? Because this town needs it. This nation needs it. I work in youth work. I love working with young people. And when I ask other people, will you invest your time in young people, often the response is, but I don't know how to relate to them. As I'm getting older, I'm realizing I feel like I'm a little bit less relative to the conversation. I don't always know or understand the words that are coming out of their mouth. But there is something interesting that when you show people that you care, that you love them, there is something that opens up in their heart. They don't care that you don't fully understand them. It's more the fact that you're on the journey with them. I just want to encourage you today, where can you step up? Where can you lead? Because it's not just going to benefit you, even though it's going to be tough. It's going to benefit a lot of people. So some of us today might be thinking, well, how can I help? How can I step up? And I've got 12 examples of in church of how maybe you could step up if you're struggling to find your place. And I can guarantee, even if it's not the right place for you, you'll be blessed by when you serve. So could we just have the first one up? Is that all right? Can you see that? Is that really small? Okay, I'm going to run through this quickly because I know it's 12 o'clock and people are watching for their lunch. So, discipleship. We need volunteers who are going to help lead discipleship groups. They're going to teach people and they're going to share their life with people. I think we could probably all do that anyway. You know, what if we all had just invested in one or two other people, three other people? That's discipleship, right? Let's invite them round for tea and let's chat about God. Sunday school, Asher shared this a few weeks ago. Asher needs Sunday school teachers and helpers. Guys, I'm really telling you now, they really need some help, okay? We have some brilliant Sunday school teachers, but we need more. Otherwise, Asher is out. In fact, this is the first week I've seen him in other than when he was preaching, so we must have got some cover for today, but we need more Sunday school teachers. Youth befrienders, I've already shared this with you. You know, we've got people that help on a Friday night, help on a Wednesday night, but you know what? We need people that are going to befriend young people. I'm not going to embarrass them, but I know there's some people in there. Oh, I don't even know their age here. I'm not going to say. But I know that I've seen them invite young people around to their house, and then they also invite people in their 30s and in their 50s. And there's this great time around the table of just spending time investing with people and their lives. Connect groups. We need people that are going to help people connect. You know, I think God called us to have a relationship with people. You know, we need people that are going to help other people grow in faith, and that's through relationship, through activities, through times of fun together. Worship team, we need more musicians. Again, we've got Luma and Chris leading every week. We've got a brilliant band, but we need more musicians. Apparently, we don't like tambourine players, but no, the rest is fine. Okay. Tambourine players are fine as long as we're in time. So that's right, okay. Media team, you know, we're training up Josh today. Josh, you're doing a brilliant job on cameras. Well done. But we need more people on our media team. You know, the amount of response we've got of people watching us online, you know, we need people that are technical-minded that can help on the techie team. Do you know Bailey's aged since he's been on the media team because he's burning himself out? No. Cleaners. Do you know, this is a great place to meet, isn't it? This is a great building. And I don't want to diminish the fact that cleaning is one of the most important things. Do you know, having a clean and tidy place and a comfortable place to serve. Do you know, the first 5 minutes and when I get a young person come through this door would dictate the next 2 hours of how that time is spent. If the place is a mess, they're not going to feel warm and welcomed and loved. Okay, we need people that can clean. Financial giving. Do you know what? The need is so great out there. There is so many things that we can invest money into. We need more money. We need more finances. We need more resources. Every church will tell you this. It's a tight resource. In a minute, Emmanuel is going to talk about his community outreach team. We need a team that are going to hit the streets where we're going to see evangelism. There's going to be praying and other community projects. Okay. We've got our alpha team, so when we get those people off the streets, okay, we need people to be able to serve in that alpha. We've got a church fun day coming up on the 10th of September. It's not quite coming up, it's coming up. Something to look forward to, okay? We're going to need people that are going to help plan, and we want it to be a fun day, right? If we don't have people involved, it's not going to be very fun, okay? And we've got coming up our Christmas Day Nativity coming up. Coming up. It is coming. It's coming, guys. 13th to the 15th of December. We need people who are going to dress up, who are going to narrate, do carols, who are going to help build up and tear down our staging and whatever we're using, or our backdrops. There are so many things that you guys could get involved in. I just want to put it and ask you the question this. Where is the Holy Spirit leading you? Where is he guiding you? Don't be afraid to step up. And if you need help in stepping up, this some of these things are a great place to encourage you. You know, some of us don't feel like natural leaders, but this is an opportunity for you as well. Should we just pray and then I'll and then Emmanuel will come up and then we'll have some worship. But Father God, I thank you for everybody here in this church. Lord, I thank you that we have such a generous church. We have such a church that reaches out and loves people. But Lord, help us to be even more effective in this, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us not to stick to things that aren't of you. Lord, if we need to change what we're doing, help us to do that as well. But Holy Spirit, I just ask that you'll come and you'll speak to us today. Lord, as we're spending time with you this week, Lord, reveal to us how you want us to serve, to see your kingdom come. In your wonderful and precious name. Amen.